is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation. Mystery Hour with James O'Brien.
Oh, and relax, eh? Good Lord, what a welcome oasis of calm and frivolity, Mystery Hour. Well, it is every week, isn't it? But the grimmer the news, the more relief we enjoy on this hour of fun and frolics. What is it, by the way? You may not know. It's a bit daft, to be honest with you. God knows how it's managed to survive for so many years, let alone spawn a real-life board game available in all the usual retailers and also from mysteryhour.co.uk. Someone rings in with a question and then someone else rings in with the answer. And I use these contributions as foils to launch hilarious flights of fancy. And no, I don't really. But that is all it is. Someone rings in with a question and someone else rings in with an answer. And if you're thinking, well, that sounds a bit rubbish, you'd be wrong, as you're about to discover by staying tuned to James O'Brien's Mystery Hour. Did I mention the board game? I did. Did I mention you can have one? I did, but that would involve buying it from mysteryhour.co.uk or winning it. Oh, yes, you could win it right now, today. By 1 o'clock today, you could be the imminent recipient of the Mystery Hour board game. All you have to do is be my favourite contributor of the week. That's it. The full terms and conditions are at lbc.co.uk. I think we'll just crack on, shall we? Because, I mean, everyone knows what it is. If you don't know what it is, you'll soon work it out. If you get a question right, you win a round of applause. If your qualifications for getting the question right are unbelievably apposite, is that the right word? Apposite? Then you get a Ray Liotta, a tribute recorded for us by the late, great Ray Liotta some years ago. And if none of this makes the blindest bit of sense, then you're just going to have to take it on trust. You're going to have to take it on trust. Obviously, you're not allowed to look anything up in pursuit of answers. That's why I ask what your qualifications are. Doesn't have to be I've got a PhD in applied mathematics. It could simply be I saw it on the telly last night, or occasionally and embarrassingly, I've heard it on Mystery Hour before, or even more embarrassingly and occasionally, I was playing the Mystery Hour ball game last night, James, and this question's actually in the ball game. I can't believe you've forgotten both the question and the answer, given that your ugly mug is on the box. That has also happened on occasion and will no doubt happen again. 6 minutes after 12 is the time. Let's crack on with Phil in Penrith. Phil, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on.
It's just that when you put food out for the birds,
yes.
How come they come so quickly?
That is a brilliant question.
If you're by the sea,
yeah,
and you put bread out for the seagulls, there's none you can see in the sky. There's none you can see around.
Yeah.
And within about half a minute or a minute, there's about 20 or 30.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? I think I have actually thought of this myself, this question. I think I've wondered it, because do they have, like, sentry seagulls or sentry pigeons that are sort of constantly
exactly.
flying around looking for food, and then as soon as they see some, they send a message back to the rest of the flock, I found some food, lads!
Yeah, exactly.
And they all fly in? Because you could have an empty sky, couldn't you? And then throw a few breadcrumbs on the floor, and the next thing you know, it's like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock film.
Yeah.
I like Absolutely. It. I love it. I love that question. Thank you, Phil. That's an early lead, actually, on the simple quality. No, I really like that question, because it's my favourite questions are the ones that, when you ask it, everybody listening will go, oh, yeah. Hey, You may not make quite that noise, but you take my point. Phil, thank you. Tom's in Ongar. Tom, question or answer?
Question, please.
Carry on.
Ear hair.
Oh, Tom, please.
Oh, but look, you know, I've just turned 35, and you know, my hairline's got a phobia of my eyebrows and stuff like that, and suddenly I've got ear hair, and I'm just like, I don't get sort of, in terms of evolution, how is it more helpful to have hairy ears when you get older?
Well, there may not be an evolutionary advantage to it.
Hmm.
It just happens, and not everything. I tell you what, it might be.
Hmm.
Because it happens when you're older, and we're generally doing less procreating and reproducing the older we get. I know men retain the capability of fathering children until they die, but if maybe it's a throwback to when we were covered in hair, and then there became a sexual advantage to not being hairy.
But yeah, it has a sort of expiry date, and we start sprouting hair from unlikely places as we become less sexually active. So there's no evolutionary advantage at all. It's the opposite. There's an evolutionary advantage to not having hairy ears, which we grow out of.
Okay, so as I'm getting older, what you're saying is that I should be procreating less, more hairy.
No, I'm not saying that you should be procreating less. I'm saying that the chances are you will be procreating less, Tom. There's no should or could about it. It's more of a would, if you pardon the pun.
Don't get me wrong. It does
seem
the trick.
Sorry. God,
I mean,
outrageous.
If I don't keep on top of it, it does work. So I can't disagree with you.
No. Oh, well, I'll find out. Why do we have ear hair is the question. Yeah. I think that evolution might be the... A little bit of a red herring on that one. My apologies also for that rare foray into Carry On style humour, which I don't think Tom noticed. Mary's in Keighley. Mary, question or answer?
It's a question, please, James.
Carry on.
How come some people are really good at imitating somebody's accent or voice in general,
yes,
and other people aren't? What happens in the brain to facilitate that?
That's a great question. Are you good at it?
I don't think I am, really. No, I don't think so. I'm a bash at it.
Yeah, I can do some. I certainly can't do impersonations. I can't do, like a Rory Bremner or a John Coleshaw type of sounding like the person who they're aping.
Have they got something specific going on that enables them to do that?
It's a great question. Can you learn it? Could you be taught how to do impersonations? Do you think? I don't think you could. I think it is something to do with your brain. Like you've got a tape recorder in your brain that works differently from everybody else's.
Yes, it just intrigues me.
No, I like it a lot. It intrigues me too. Let's find out. What is it in the brain that allows some people to do impersonations in particular? But it's probably the same skill, isn't it, to be very, very good at accents. It's just even better. It's like gears. So the third gear would be accents, and then the fourth gear would be actual impersonations. Because I can do accents, but I can't do impersonations. I love it. Thank you, Mary. We shall endeavour to find out for you. 11 minutes after 12 is the time. Neil's in South Hams. Neil, question or answer?
Both.
No, you can only do what you've cleared with the producer.
No, I've listened to you for a while now, James.
Good man.
The dinosaurs.
Yes.
How do we know what colour dinosaurs are?
We don't.
This kind of stems from my son. Yep. I've got a 2-year-old son who's very much into his dinosaurs. And I mean, like, he can name them and correct you if you are wrong.
Oh, lovely.
If you think it's... So he's really into them.
Yes.
We've been building a collection for him. And, you know, we've been getting the usual khaki browns and orange and greens and what have you. And then recently we've got some for him. And a Carcharodontosaurus was orange with blue spots.
Mm.
Now, the likelihood it was actually that colour, I would say, is slim for camouflage reasons. But it kind of... I thought about this last week and I rang and I didn't get on. But, how do we know? How do we know what... Because if you watch anything about dinosaurs on any platform, they will all be variant in colours.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You've answered the question yourself. There was something, because this has come up before, that there's something about feathers, that they managed from a fossil feather to work out what colour the feather had been, and it was, I think it was black. But a lot of the... A lot of the discovered fossils offer no clue as to what colour the actual beast would have been. So then you've already done it. You extrapolate and think what is likely to be the case, and it would be that they could blend in for, as you say, camouflage reasons, but the Tyrannosaurus rex would have no need for camouflage reasons. And then evolution, you'd think, well, they've come from probably something amphibious, and you rarely encounter anything amphibious that's not a sort of murky brown or green. And Hollywood's probably got a lot to do with what we think as well. But unless you find sort of fossilised pigment, so to speak, you're not going to know what colour dinosaurs were. So it's a boring answer to an excellent question, but a lot of the time you just don't know.
The answer, by the way, was 42.
That's the meaning of life. That's the carry
there you
on.
Go.
Well played.
I sent it to your lady who answered the phone, and she didn't get it. So
well, they're a lot younger than us. Are my colleagues
I did,
now?
I did say to her, I'd have to be first on for that to work.
No, see. Oh, no, I don't think you did. 12-4, don't give people ideas. I'll take the round of applause for that. It's not my most proud round of applause, but they all count. Neil, take care. Joe's in Bexley Heath. Joe, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on, Joe.
If a married woman has another man, if a married man has another woman, yeah. It's a mistress.
She is, yes.
If a married woman has another man, what, is she just lucky?
It's just the lover, isn't it?
Is that what it's called?
I don't think there's a particular term, actually. I presume mistress comes from the fact that in the olden days, the man would assume some sort of financial responsibility for his mistress. Certainly royals would, wouldn't they? And so it afforded a form of status, whereas for a married woman to have a bit on the side, that wouldn't have historically involved her being financially responsible or helping out the man. I'm not going to take a round of applause because there may be a word for it. I just don't know what it is. I don't think there's... So it's a male mistress is what you're talking about, really.
Yes.
Whether it's the lover of a man or a woman. If the lover, if the extramarital lover is a man, I don't think there's a word for it. Why do you want to know?
Well, it's always just been on my mind. So, and it's a question.
Yeah, no. So someone might know, but I don't be downcast if there isn't anything to fill in the gap. Fancy man? Would you go for fancy man, Joe?
No, I wouldn't.
Why not?
I think that no, it's such a defined term, mistress for another woman.
Yeah.
Why is it a man is not
doesn't
got a
happen.
Term?
There's two questions there. Why isn't there a term for the male extramarital lover? I think I've answered it, but as I say, I'll leave it on the board because it could throw up something interesting. 12:15 is the time.
From day one, it's always been the people who make Virgin Atlantic Virgin Atlantic. They are proud to fly their customers, and their people always go the extra mile. They and their customers are a dazzling collection of individuals who march to their own drumbeat and fly their own path. Their people are the beating heart of the business, the soul of their bright red brand. Travel is one of life's great joys, but only if everybody can be themselves. Changing the rules around wearing makeup and not showing your tattoos, making them work for today. Whatever works best for you. We're on board Virgin Atlantic. See the world differently.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien.
17 minutes after 12 is the time. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Mystery Hour continues. How do birds know where the food is? Because there are no birds in the sky. Throw some breadcrumbs on the pavement and then whoosh, down they come. How do they cut? Do they smell it? It's a good question. Why do men grow ear hair? What's that about? Is there any answer to that question? It may be one of life's great unanswerables. What is it about some brains that allows their owners to do imitation of accents or even more impressively of entire voices, you know, like Rory Bremner or a John Coleshaw? What colour were dinosaurs? Done that one. And we will never do that one again. I hereby pledge it. And what do you call a male mistress? And serious answers only, please. 12:18 is because there are plumbing hundreds of unserious ones coming in on my inbox. Lizzie's in Brighton. Lizzie, question or answer?
It's a question, please.
Yes.
What is with Flying Ant Day? Seems to be a day in the UK where all the flying ants come out.
Is it every year? Have we had it yet? Have you had it yet?
We have.
When was it?
Yeah. It was early July because we were away in France and I got lots of texts saying you're missing Flying Ant Day.
Gosh,
where do they come from?
It's mating, isn't it? Isn't it the day that they come out and mate?
No idea. But then, where are all the ants with wings for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I know. I do know this. I'm just. It's. I don't. I think they just live in nests. No, that can't be right, because they need to eat, don't they? So, no, all right then, what is it? What's it all about, Flying Ant Day?
Yeah.
And we missed it. Did I miss it as well? Was I on holiday? I just don't remember it. No, we don't, Keith doesn't celebrate it, Lizzie.
He's a lucky escape.
A lucky escape, yeah. Indeed. It's against his beliefs. Okay, Flying Ant Day, we like that. What's it? Give us a simple explanation, an entry-level explanation. Martin's in Warwick. Martin, question or answer? Martin? No? We've got that? Just trying to work out who's in the lead at the moment. The number you need, by the way, you won't get through at the minute, but there should be someone free in a minute. Martin, for example, we'll push him off. 03456060973. Mark's in Storrington. Mark, question or answer?
Hello, James. Hello. It's an answer.
Carry on, sir. Carry on.
Seagulls.
Yes. All birds. All birds, I think.
And, all birds, but particularly seagulls. I think the question was about seagulls specifically, wasn't it? Apart from being able to see from a mile away, they can smell from 3 miles away.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you won't be able to see them, obviously, because they're so far away. They will see you, and they will certainly smell you.
And they know. I mean, even something relatively innocuous like bread. You don't think of bread as having a particularly pun. A seagull can smell bread from 3 miles away.
I don't know about bread specifically.
Oh, it could smell a fish from 3 miles away, smell bread from 500 yards away. It wouldn't need the full 3 miles, would it?
Or fish and chips.
Fish and chips, or a pasty.
Yeah.
Qualifications.
Qualifications, that was actually information imparted to me by a guy who's sadly no longer with us, but he was an old sea dog, a salty old sea dog.
Is that right?
He used to be the harbour master down at Chichester in West Sussex.
Oh, how lovely. That'll do. I like that answer. I mean, I guess, in a way, having an exceptional sense of smell was bound to be the answer in a way, wasn't it? Because and eyes, so they can see what it is.
How else would you know?
And they just zone in on it. I mean, maybe someone can add to it, but I doubt it. I think you've gone definitive, and it means you get a round of applause. Nice work, Mark. Many thanks. 12:21. David's in Hemel Hempstead. David, question or answer?
Hello, James. Hello. That's a question, please.
Carry on.
Right, photo finishes. I was watching the Olympic, the Commonwealth Games. I noticed on the sprint finishes that the photo is always blurred. It's like a distortion of the runners. They look like Mr. Tickle sort of staggering home with sort of elongated feet, and their knees go the wrong way.
Oh, do they?
So I was wondering if someone can explain why it doesn't look like a normal photo, where it's as you see it. Why is it blurred and distorted?
Well, it's not a photo, is it? Or is it? Is it not just a frozen piece of film?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's got something to do with time, hasn't it? A time blur, maybe. But so, it's called a photo finish.
And it is called a photo.
It doesn't look like a photo. So.
And it would have been a photo once, I suppose, before video cameras were invented. So you just have someone on the line like trying to take a picture to see what foot came over it first. But haven't you just answered the question? Is it not just going to be that the shutter speed, or whatever you call it, is...
I don't know. I'm not a photographer.
No, fine. Just stick it on the board. Why do photo finishes look all blurry?
How do they work? Can someone explain it?
I like it. Okay.
Thank you very much, Governor.
Thank you, David. Carry on. Have a good day. Claire's in rugby. Claire, question or answer?
Oh, it's a question, please.
Carry on, Claire.
Well, from what I understand, horses can't be sick.
Well, where did you get this information from?
Well, I've always heard it that they can't vomit. So if they eat something,
you should have said the horse's mouth then, Claire. Sorry.
Well, they can't throw up or get rid of something that's bad for them, like we can, or cats and dogs.
Well, I think they can get sick. I mean, otherwise all the vets would be put out of business. Equine vets.
No. I mean, they can't vomit.
Oh, they can't be sick.
Yes.
As opposed to be sick.
Yes.
Sorry.
And I wonder why. And obviously, you know, with evolution, why would that have happened?
Well, no, hang on. I mean, it's all got a bit complicated. Evolution. Haven't they? Are they ruminants? Aren't they horses? Have they got?
No, they're not ruminants.
Oh, are they
not like cows?
Oh,
I don't think they are. Anyway, it's just that I've always been told that they can't actually throw up if they eat something bad. Like we can, and cats and dogs, and I wondered why.
No, it's a good question. I mean, it may be the answer is actually the other way around, and it's more remarkable to be able to vomit.
Well, possibly, but with evolution and what would be, you know, making them continue as a species, why would that happen?
Well, because they only eat grass, you see, so the likelihood of them poisoning themselves is pretty slim.
That's possible.
Whereas other mammals eat all sorts of things, so the likelihood of us poisoning ourselves is quite high, therefore developing the ability to vomit after you've eaten something that's hazardous bestows an evolutionary advantage that horses don't need because they only ever eat grass and oats.
Oh, that's possible. Never thought of that. Sorry.
No, that's what I'm here. That's what I'm here for, Claire. That's
but there,
what
there might be something even
But there must be, and we will find out for you. Why can't horses vomit?
Okay, thank you.
I love it. 0345 6060973, straight from the horse's mouth. Or not. That was Keith's joke, that, by the way. Credit where credit's due. Max is in Braintree. Max, question or answer?
It is an answer, James.
Carry on.
The flying ant day.
Ah, yes.
So you're half correct with the mating side of things, but the real purpose is to actually create new colonies of ants. So you get two different sizes of flying ants. You get those big ones you see, the ones you notice more often. They're virgin queens.
Virgin queens?
Virgin queens.
Wow.
And you get the smaller ones, which are males.
Right.
So they'll all take off, they'll mate. Once the queen's mated, she's going to land and chew off her own wings.
Yeah.
So she doesn't fly anymore.
Wow.
She'll then just go off into the ground, find a tiny little nook, and she's got enough fat reserves to kind of keep herself going without finding for food.
Right.
She'll lay a few eggs.
Yeah.
Those eggs will then hatch into ants. They'll go out and start bringing food back to her, and that is the start of a new colony.
Where are they the rest of the time?
So the big ants nest you'll see in the ground will basically be spending the year creating thousands of eggs to create all these queens that can then go off and fly. Most of them get eaten by birds.
So the flying ant, the flying ant is the queen?
Yeah, well, those large ones you see on the wing.
But ants don't normally have wings, so do they only grow wings for a couple of days a year then, or am I being thick?
No. So they're an entire different ant. When you see the normal ants about, they're workers. It's a bit like bees. They're in the same kind of family. So you have a queen bee, worker bees, drone bees.
Oh, so wow.
In the nest,
so there's a hierarchy in an ant's nest then, and the flying ants are like the Praetorian Guard, and the ants we see are like the worker ants, but they'd all live in the same nest.
That's it.
So what do the flying ants do the rest of the time? Why do you never see a flying ant the rest of the time then?
So they basically emerge, fly, mate, chew off their own wings, and then that queen will stay underground giving birth for the rest of her life. You'll never see her again. She forms a new colony. So
and what about the male flying ants?
Their sole purpose in life is to mate. So they mate, die. That's the end of them.
But so they're just underground the rest of the time. They're just chilling and living in the nest.
It's a big build-up for them to hatch, basically. So the colony's growing, it's growing, they're laying all these eggs. At work at the moment, I'm catching lizards, and a lot of the mats I check, I've seen the queens forming, so I've seen these enormous eggs in piles. I've watched them start to emerge.
Wow. How exciting. What a brilliant answer. And you've just nudged us towards the next question, which is qualifications, please.
Insect geek, member of the Entomological Society. I keep ants. So you can actually be super geeky if you're a kid. You get a test tube, a couple of mil of water in the bottom of it, stick a bit of cotton wool in there.
Yeah.
If you find a flying ant that's already got her wings gone, you can pop her in there.
What do you mean if you find a flying ant that's already got her wings gone? That's a bit like those recipes that say first catch your hare.
It's easier than you think. If you go on a flying ant there and look at the ground, you'll see big ants with no wings. If you pop one in a test tube, within a few weeks you'll start laying eggs and you can start your own ant colony.
If you go where did you go to find it, did you say?
Just on flying ant day, you know when they're everywhere.
Oh, on flying ant day, sorry, yeah, of course. Yeah. So that on flying ant day, you're in with quite a good chance of finding one.
That's it. Have a look on the floor, and there'll be ones which shoot their wings off fresh.
And is there any way of knowing in advance when flying ant day is going to be? I think it was July the 8th this year.
Yeah, no, they tend to synchronise themselves based on the weather and climate and all kinds of things like that.
Wow.
There you go.
A big round of applause for you, Matt. What are you doing with the lizards?
At the moment, I'm working for an ecology job, translocating lizards from a potential building site
Fantastic.
To another one.
We've got a lot of lizards in this country.
There's a few. The common lizards, which are the ones on this site, are actually pretty common and widespread. They're just so small and fast in the grass, you don't notice them. Obviously, we've got sand lizards as well, which are really rare. We've got.
I love it when people like you say, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
A round of applause for Matt. That was absolutely fascinating.
A round of applause.
No, well played, mate. And we'll speak again. There's something, isn't there, about people with a real passion for their subject that is
It's contagious. I was thinking it last week when Brian Cox was recording Full Disclosure with me. And I went to see his show at the Royal Opera House. And he makes things you didn't have any previous interest in interesting. Fred Dibner had that. I don't know if you ever saw his programmes. From the same part of the world as Brian Cox. And Max has got it too, in spades. It's coming out to 12:30. I'll squeeze in one more. Lily's in Portsmouth. Lily, question or answer?
It's an answer, James.
Carry on.
To the male mistress.
Yes.
It's called a paramour.
Really?
Yeah.
That can be a woman as well, though, can't it?
It could be, but I think it's mostly attached to mistress.
We never have arguments on mystery. But I think you're wrong. I don't think it is. I think paramour can apply equally to men and women.
It possibly could.
It is the extramarital lover. It is that's the technical term. That is a correct term to use, but I don't think it's specific to men.
I've read it in a trashy novel, and it was used to describe the male.
Well, I'm going to give you a round of applause
because
it is a word. It is a word that Joe will be able to use moving forward, but it is not. I don't think it's specifically masculine. The paramour. Thank you, Lily. 12:30 is the time. Amelia Cox is here with your headlines. That is the sound of a heart stopping, and hearts can stop when you least expect it. While getting ready for the school run, playing sport, even in the middle of a podcast. You see, heart muscle diseases can be inherited across generations. Faulty genes can affect the young and seemingly fit. Millions of people live with that fear every day. But imagine if there was a cure. The good news is that the British Heart Foundation are funding groundbreaking research to turn this fear into hope. They're awarding a grant of £30 million to CureHeart, a global team of the brightest researchers with one shared vision: finding a game-changing cure to stop these diseases from stopping hearts. So please, show your support and search CureHeart to find out how the British Heart Foundation are turning science fiction into reality.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
12:33 is the time. Mystery Hour continues. Leonard is in Berkhamsted. Leonard, question or answer?
Question, James.
Carry on.
You've had a variation of this question in the past, but I've always wondered it. Before Julius Caesar and Emperor Augustus, there were, first 8-10 months in the year, and then 11, and then 12. And how did that affect, A, the seasons? Because seasons would then, there would be a sixth of the year missing from what we consider a year now. So would seasons then...
It wouldn't matter. That wouldn't matter. The pie has stayed the same size. It's just cut into more slices. And the season is a different demarcation of slices. So there's four seasons, whether there's 10 months or 12 months.
Yeah, but if there's 10
months.
You may not have been able to write a poem.
Each
season
takes
up 3 months,
But it doesn't.
90 days, more or less.
That's when you split it into four. So it takes 90 days. It still takes 90 days. You've just given it a different name.
If the year takes 10 months,
no, I don't.
Then next year, on January, then you'll start a season at a different point, if you see what I mean.
No, because they shared the days out. The year was still the same length. They just rearranged the months.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because
the length of a year is defined by lunar cycles, isn't it, or something?
Yeah, no, exactly. I was just wondering whether there was... If the year had fewer days in it when there were 10 months.
I just asked the question because my head hurts now.
Okay, fine. That was my question. Did the seasons become changeable within the year?
Right.
Because there were fewer
when we went up. But did we go up, though, from 10 to 12? Didn't they just make the months named after themselves longer? Didn't they just steal days from other months?
Well, I don't know the answer
August.
To that. I just know that
July... This is the most confusing question that we've ever had in our lives.
But,
someone listening might have understood it. Just because I haven't doesn't mean that it was incomprehensible, Leonard.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, James.
No, you're very welcome. And hopefully someone will ring in and answer it and do us all a favour. So I'm going to write that down as years, months and seasons, Leonard.
If you can help Leonard out, you know the number. It is 12:35. Mike's in Bishop Stortford. Mike, question or answer?
It's an answer, please.
Carry on.
It's for your hairy ears.
I don't have hairy ears. How dare you? I trimmed them only yesterday.
Well, anyone who's listening with hairy ears. Basically, everybody has ear hair. The point of it is to clear earwax out of your ear canal.
Right.
But testosterone causes hair to appear or become coarser and thicker. And as men age, testosterone can accumulate. Therefore, that's why older men appear to have hairier ears than everyone else.
So the hairs are always theirs. It's just because they've just become a bit thicker over time.
Exactly. Similar to why old men sometimes have hairy nasal hairs as well.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Not you don't have to be that old, right?
Well, not necessarily. No.
But also, you can use the same trimmer, actually, for ears and noses.
I'll take your word for that.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
And you're not in the zone yet?
Not quite. I'm getting there.
Do you know how it happened? Do you know how it happened?
Go on, tell me.
It's quite a moment, actually. In the sort of milestones of life, the hairdresser or the barber tells you.
I've had my barber do my eyebrows for me.
Yeah, no. At some point in the not too distant future, your barber will say, "Would you like me to do your ears?" And you think, "What's he talking about?" And then you realise he's talking about ear hair. And then you say, "Oh yes, please." And a little bit of you dies.
I'll keep an eye out for that day.
Have a round of applause in the meantime. 12:37 is the time. Ear hair, that's Tom's question answered. Rachel's in Brackley in Northamptonshire, a stalwart of the National League North. Rachel, are you a fan?
Unfortunately not.
What? That's outrageous. You play in the same league. You could watch Kidderminster Harriers play this season.
Yeah, we had the same conversation last week and I hadn't heard of football then either. I'm so sorry.
You're making me sound quite boring. Last week?
Yeah, we're talking about working from home.
Oh, no, we were. You're right. It wasn't during Mystery Hour, was it? That's why I got confused. 29th of August, I think, we're in Brackley. Anyway, carry on.
I answer about finish line cameras.
Oh, yes.
So they're used in every sport where someone crosses a line and you need to see the order of them.
Yes.
So it's common in athletics and motorsport.
Right.
It's a still image camera. It looks at a very, very narrow window. And when it detects movement, it starts capturing still images,
right,
which it then stitches together so you can see an overall picture.
Oh, wow.
And so the reason that people can look a bit wonky, or perhaps cars can look a bit wonky, is because they're moving through time. You're capturing that single point and everyone's moving at a different speed.
Of course.
So if you're moving slowly, you'll appear really like wide. Whereas if you're moving really quickly, then you'll just like whoosh past and seem like a really narrow object.
Qualifications?
I used to be a Formula One timekeeper, so I used to rig and operate the cameras.
Really?
Yeah.
Why did you stop? There's a lot of Formula One in Northamptonshire, isn't there? A lot of links.
Yeah, there is. I guess like any job, really. Pros and cons. When the list of outcomes outweighs the list of pros, you move on.
How long did you do it for?
6 years.
How many Formula One timekeepers are there, generally?
They normally take half a dozen, like for the different, like the main system, the backup system. Obviously, you can't really have a failure.
And do you work at a specific track or do you tour with the...
They take them around with them and tour to every track. So it's the same team that goes everywhere.
So you went to every Formula One race when you were a timekeeper?
Yeah. And then set up the camera, took several thousand pictures and then took it down again, travelled to the next place.
Well, I'm going to give you a Ray Liotta.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm Ray Liotta, and you're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. If you build it, they will come.
High accolade. I mean, that's pretty impressive, Rachel, that your qualifications are so on the money that you get yourself a Ray Liotta. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I will do my level best not to talk meaninglessly about your local football club next time you ring in, okay?
Thank you.
Not only does it make me sound old and boring, it makes me sound repetitious and predictable as well. Apart from that, great. Well played. 12:40 is the time. And rest in peace, Ray. That still gets me, actually. A little reminder. Benji is in Shoreham. Benji, question or answer?
Question, please, James.
Carry on, Benji.
My question is, because it hasn't rained for 2 months,
yes,
and there are no ponds in our local parks,
yes,
how do our squirrels get water? Because if they don't, they die. So
that's a very... How old are you, mate?
13?
That's a very good question. I like that. I saw a squirrel yesterday. I mean, this isn't very shocking news, but I had exactly the same thought as you. I saw a squirrel yesterday, and I thought, we're miles away from any water sources. What's the poor little fella going to do? I mean, I imagine that there are, puddles or little deposits of water somewhere that they'll be able to track down. They may not need a huge amount of water, but I'd like to know for sure. I shall try and find out for you, Benji.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much. And enjoy your summer holidays. So where do squirrels get their water from? There's a pond near me as well that's drying out. I don't know why. It was already drying out before the heat wave. They're clearly redeveloping it in one of the parks. And there's a massive terrapin. Biggest one I've ever seen, just having a bit of a sunbathe yesterday. Magical stuff. I love it. I'm just so old now. I love wildlife. I never thought I was going to embrace middle age with such enthusiasm that I am. I restored a lawn roller the other day. Did I tell you that? Yeah? I'm not sure, I've got pictures. Richard's in Chelmsford. Richard, question or answer?
Answer, please, James.
Carry on.
To horsey vomiting or being sick.
Or not vomiting, as the case may be.
They can't vomit.
No.
It's impossible.
Why?
They have a vowel, which is called a swift tie.
Yeah.
Which is really low down in their stomach, so they can't basically open that. It's not allowed to open to regurgitate.
What advantage does it bestow? Do we know? Do we know why they have that? Or indeed, why other mammals are capable of vomiting?
A lot of other animals would regurgitate to feed their young.
Yes.
Whereas
horses wouldn't. Don't. They've got milk, so they create milk. Yeah.
Yeah, and the valve is set that low down, so when they're at full speed to basically try and evade something trying to eat them, it wouldn't allow them to be sick whilst they're fleeing, because a lot of animals would have to stop to be sick.
Yeah, I like this. Qualifications?
I'm actually a farrier. I shoe horses.
Oh, for some reason, my colleague has written on the screen, I dot he shoes.
I dot he shoes.
I dot he shoes. What does that mean? Do we know what that means? I dot he shoes. Oh, the space is in the wrong place. I do the shoes.
I could have stared at that all day.
Are you busy? Is there a lot of farriering to be done in Chelmsford, Richard?
I cover most of Essex, and it is flat out busy all the time.
Is it really? A lot of horses in Essex?
All the time, loads, thousands.
And do you have an anvil?
I have an anvil. I work out of a mobile unit, so I have an anvil, fire, gas.
Fantastic.
And I turn up in yards and shoe horses.
Oh, it's great. And do you enjoy your work?
I love it. I've been doing it since I was 15. I'm 45 now, so 30 years in.
Gosh.
Still love it.
Oh, that's a lovely job, that. Old school. Round of applause for Richard. Lovely answer. No, thank you very much. Well, I'd love to come out with you one day. There's so many interesting people doing interesting jobs. We could probably get a show out of it, like a different show, a podcast or something. Ian's in Lowestoft. Ian, question or answer?
Question.
Carry on.
Right. When you look in a mirror, the image that you see is inverted left right.
That's
called lateral inversion.
Yes.
My question is, how come the image is not inverted vertically?
It's because of your eyes, is it? Rather than the mirror?
Because
you can get vertical inversion in a spoon, can't you? Can't you?
I don't know. I've lived in a spoon. But,
you've looked in a spoon. You can get.
I've looked in a spoon. I don't know. I mean, a mirror is a flat surface.
It's a plane mirror. Is the technical term?
A plane mirror. Yeah. So if it's if it's going left to right in one dimension, why doesn't it do it in the vertical dimension?
Why doesn't it go up to down?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on. Okay. I mean, there'll be an answer, won't there? It'll be physics, will it?
There is an answer. It'll be physics. It'll be optics. Yeah.
But we don't know what it is. Okay, and maybe spoons will turn out not to be very relevant.
Who knows?
I'll just find out. Thank you, Ian. I like that. Why aren't mirrors inverted vertically? 03456060973, given that they are indeed inverted laterally. It's 12:45. How can it be 12:45? I've only just sat down. Honestly, it's ridiculous.
Mystery Hour on LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 12:47. You're listening to James O'Brien on LBC. Mystery Hour continues. Rowan is in Southend. Rowan, question or answer?
I have an answer for you, James, wonderful mystery of what did the Romans do for us and what actually they didn't do for us.
Yes,
according to the time. Now, your original questioner.
This is Leonard's years, months, seasons question that I didn't understand. Yes.
Okay, so what he was explaining was that there were only 10 particular named months.
Yes.
What he didn't get is there was an extra month that the consuls, which is the highest grade of Roman public servant, could insert, called intercalendus, to sort the seasons out, because they only accounted for about 130 days. It might be 330, something like that.
Yeah, got it.
And frequently, they wouldn't bother inserting that extra month. They would sit down, calculate, oh, the seasons are somewhat off, we're going to have to get them. We're going to have to get this extra month. And the reason this is particularly important is because the religious festivals went by the month and not by the season. So you could end up in a situation where you were literally celebrating Saturnalia, which is yon big festival, where this, which was all topsy-turvy, slaves with the masters and so on and so forth, nowhere near the time frame where it's supposed to happen. So that could take place in September, when actually the month was December. So it's that autumny bit. Now, this is the really fun part. Because it was the consuls themselves that decided, the censors themselves that decided whether or not to put that month in or not, if they didn't, and they definitely didn't, the seasons would be all over the place. And it was entirely down to them whether they bothered to do it or not.
Okay. Gosh.
And that's why when Julius Caesar hooked up with Cleopatra, he said, no, I'm going to get this sorted out.
Mm.
He went to her and said, look, you people are really, really quite good at organising the seasons and the months. Can you give us an accurate number of days and days that we need to calculate the year from? She said, no problem. And that's why he had the 365. And then along came Pope Gregory, who ended up doing the insertion of, 11 days. This harks back to your caller long time ago, who did the answer on why the Lady Days, Lady Days and tax, and why the 5th of April and not the 25th of March, I think it was. Yeah, so it's all about trying to get the time right.
So the seasons were relevant. It was a much better question than I realised. That's fine. I you know me, Mr. Humble, they call me behind my back. Qualifications?
Obsessed with everything Roman since I picked up my first book on Asterix when I was 8.
Is that because you thought your name was Roman when you saw it written down?
No. I was given a copy of Asterix. In fact, if you want to know what my name is, I was named after the tree in my parents' garden.
Yes.
Yes, because my hair's the same colour as the berries on the tree on the day I was born.
Oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, it's absolutely lovely. What colour is that? What colour is that?
Quite gingery.
Oh, lovely.
Not so ginger anymore. A bit old. It's gone white. But
at least it's not coming out of your ears. Rowan, I shall give you a round of applause. That's a beautiful answer. Very, very
good.
Beautifully done as well. Lovely, lovely sort of enthusiasm. Andrew's in Chigwell. Andrew, question or answer?
I have a question for you, James.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
The question is, how far does electricity travel through water?
Whoa.
So we all know about the electric fire landing in a bath and people getting electrocuted to death.
Or a hairdryer,
but if you're in the sea and the sea got struck by lightning, how far can you be away from that lightning before it has no effect on you? I presume
it's an odd, because, you know, if you threw a hairdryer in the sea, it's going to have a lot less impact than a bolt of lightning, I imagine, isn't it? Well, it depends how much electricity you put
in a massive swimming pool.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get electrocuted to death.
I wouldn't have thought so.
I'm just interested to know.
Right.
You know, there's probably an equation.
Why? Why do you want to? What on earth have you got planned?
Well, we just travelled back from Orlando on holiday, and there's some massive storms out there.
Yes.
And when there's a storm, when you're at a big water park, they say, all out the water.
Do they?
And I said to my brother-in-law out there, I wonder how far electricity.
But don't, they're not telling
travels.
You to get out of the water because you're going to get electrocuted. They're telling you because the lightning might hit something which would then fall into the water. Isn't that? I mean, this is quite an.
Yeah.
All right. So,
But it's going to depend how much electricity there is. There's not going to be like an answer. No one can just ring in and say 40 meters, can they? Because I mean,
well, like I said, it must be volt versus volume of water.
Yeah, did you say that? Sorry. That's a very clever way of putting it.
There must be an equation that says 1 volt.
How far can electricity travel in water?
That's the question.
0345 6060973. Is it worth it, Orlando? How old are the kids? Do you take kids? You've got children with you?
Well, one's grown up now. The other one was 17. So, yeah, but it was a great holiday.
Was
Thank you very much.
Was it? I've always quite fancied it. 12:50 would be too late soon. 12:50, or maybe I'll go when the kids aren't coming with us. That would be more fun. 12:53 is the time. David's in Monmouthshire. David, question or answer?
It's an answer.
Carry on.
To the question about the mirror, why does it invert stuff from right to left, but not from top to bottom?
It doesn't, does it? No, doesn't. It's from back to front, isn't it?
It just looks back to front. Yeah. Whatever's in the right of what you've put in there is on the right in the mirror.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So if you stand in front of it with your right arm up, it looks as if there's somebody in the mirror with their left hand up.
So nothing's inverted at all?
No.
So the answer to the question is that the premise of the question is fundamentally flawed?
Yes.
Qualifications?
No qualification. I got a physics A level, but I actually looked it up because it came up on a programme 3-6 months ago, and it intrigued me. I think looking it up at the time is permitted, isn't
it? This break came up on this programme?
Yes.
I think you're right. I can't believe I forgot. Did you remember immediately when the question was asked?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How old are you?
I know it wasn't answered at the time. I know that.
Did it not? It stayed on the board, did it? I thought it was answered at the time.
Not that I can remember.
Right, you've got a round of applause.
Okay, thanks very much.
No, thank you very much. Well played. Yeah. And of course cheers. It's not. Yeah, cheers. You just think, you should have worked that one out. Were you telling me that at the time? Oh, of course you were, Keith, honestly. Mark's in Aberdeen. Question or answer, Mark?
Hi, answer to how squirrels survive in the hot weather.
Yeah.
They drink dew first thing in the morning, little pools of dew that form on broad leaves. The squirrels
of course they
hop
do.
On.
Even your lawn, that, even yeah. your lawn can be a bit damp in the yep. morning, can't it?
Anywhere, yeah. Anywhere, what they manage to drink in the morning is enough to sustain them for the rest of the day, basically.
Is that right? Qualifications?
Yeah. We have some woods nearby to us, and there's a guy who they're famous for squirrels. Lots of red squirrel population. And the guy there feeds them every day, and he told me so. No qualifications other than just general knowledge.
That is your qualification. That's the best qualification of all. Lived experience, a curious mind, yep. a questing personality. Mark, round of applause.
Absolutely. Thank you.
No, thank you. 12:55 is the time. Mark's in Barrow in Furness. Mark, what have you got?
A bit more about the Roman months.
Marvellous.
Your previous speaker is not wrong at all.
No, she was rather good.
But the point is that you had a civic year that began in March and it ran for 10 months.
Yes.
And, of course, it was 300 days only. That doesn't cover the whole solar year.
Correct, 10/30.
And the whole solar year is fixed.
Year,
you can't
lunar.
Run without it.
Yeah, got it.
But there were 61 more days. And they weren't, as far as we can see, they weren't originally assigned to any particular month, except when, as in your previous speaker was saying, there was a need, a civic or religious need, for an additional month. And that would be fitted in between what we now think of as January and February.
Okay.
But it wouldn't necessarily happen every year. It would be a movable feast, as it were. What then happened was that because of the huge cultural influence of Greece, the Romans started looking at the Greek calendar, and the Greek calendar always had 12 months in all the time we know it.
Ah.
So that's when they began to be dissatisfied with this 61-year gap.
Okay.
61-day gap, sorry, which would sometimes be filled with an additional month.
Got it.
It wouldn't necessarily be.
Love it.
And so they started having January and February as formal months.
Well, that's fantastic.
But at first, of course, the 5th and 6th months would be called Quintilis and Sextilis.
Of course.
The terms July and August came from the Roman...
They named them after themselves, didn't they? They named
them
after themselves.
But until then, they were called Quintilis 5th month and Sextilis 6th month.
Got it.
So your previous speaker is entirely correct.
You've just... I know. Rome was playing a blinder, and you've come along and sort of played another blinder off the back of her blinder. It's two blinders for the price of one, Mark. And you get a round of applause.
And you want to know who I am. You know who I am.
I know who you are. You're an Oxford Classics graduate, etymologist, all-round genius. Frequent contributor to Mystery. You also gave me the opportunity for a rather weak joke.
Would you like to hear it? Because you mentioned the enormous
The
enormous cultural influence of Greece, which I thought was a fitting moment to reflect upon the passing of Olivia Newton-John.
And oh God, Greece!
12:58. James is in Highbury. James, question or answer?
Answer, James.
Carry on, mate.
Electricity flowing in water?
Yes.
Like all these things, it depends. So, first of all, we need to consider what conductivity is the water.
You've got 40 seconds. I sense that you're settling down here, mate. You're going to have to speed it up.
Seawater being salty.
Yes.
Seawater being salty is very conductive, but there's lots of it, and it's in constant contact with the Earth's surface. Now, the Earth, remember, is an infinite source or sink of electrons.
Yes.
So the answer in that case is it gets dissipated very quickly.
Right.
It basically leaks out into the soil and the Earth's crust. Now, if you had water in a bath and you contained that water and you made it conductive by adding salt or some sort of other electrolyte,
you could
pass electric current through it, in theory, an infinite length.
Holy moly.
If you could contain it, so imagine a trough, like a gutter or a drain pipe or something like that.
Yes.
And if the water or the solution was sufficiently conductive, so let's put battery acid in instead of water.
Yeah.
Then if the voltage was sufficient and you had enough energy source
behind it. It would be like a wire. It would be like cabling.
Exactly. Not quite as good as cabling because obviously copper resistance and aluminium that we use for cabling has free electrons in the atomic structure.
I love more it when so people, than I love it. You'd like the other fella saying obviously when he was talking about, obviously that has three electrons.
You're an educated man.
Well, I am now, but only thanks to you. Qualifications, James?
I'm a chartered electrical engineer.
Fantastic. Round of applause for James.
Thanks, sir. Always a pleasure to speak to you, James.
No, it really is, mate. Seriously. I so much brains, so much knowledge on the table today. And I who am I going to give it to? Who's going to win the... I had an idea in my head. Flying Ant Man. Flying Ant. Was it Max? Max. Unless he's already got one, check with him. In which case, I'll have another view. But the Mystery Hour ball game goes to Max this time. Sorry, I'm late again. Here's Sheila.
No, you know what the matter. I made a worried face. It wasn't about the time. It was about the last caller and water and electricity. All my BBC years of BBC training kicked in, and I feel the need to say, please don't throw your hairdryer into the bath.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Oh, God. Literally, my toes were curling with stress for the idea that somebody might misconstrue that.
Yes.
There, sorry, that was a bit of a head girl moment for me, but there you go. I was indeed head girl. Won't surprise any of you.